The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is from Matthew. It's chapter 24, verses 36 to 44, and can be found on page 29 in the back of the Pew Bibles and page 1549 in the large print version. Please stand for the gospel. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The necessity of watchfulness. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Lord, I pray that you would help us hear what you want us to hear this morning from this your holy word. Amen. I'm going to take as my text the passage from Isaiah, so if you want to follow it when the time comes, just a reminder that it was on page 658 in the Pew Bibles. First, I just wanted to share something with you. I was clearing out our study recently and getting rid of some old books. I came across this, which was given to me by a former member of the congregation. It's Hints for Church Wardens and Others, published in 1908. And some of it thinks is this little section is headed Seating of Parishioners. In many churches, all the seats are free and unappropriated. In others, owing to the absence of any endowment or to the income from this source being very small, seats are let at rates usually fixed by the church wardens. In some instances, half the seats in the church are entirely free and half are rented. In other cases, a certain proportion of the seats are allotted to the parishioners on the distinct understanding that all seats are free at 5 minutes before any service. In showing persons to seats, it is as well to fill up first the seats near the chancel and the pulpit, and so work down the nave and the aisles. By following this plan, latecomers, naming no names, are less likely to disturb the devotions of those already in church. So that's something for the church warden, extra source of income. And it certainly might encourage people to get here on time. But not sure in this day and age it would send the right sort of welcoming message to all and sundry who might wish to come into our lovely church. And that leads me to my theme. If we look at verse 3 of Isaiah's passage, which says, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob," which I'm paraphrasing as, "Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord." So if this place, at St. Mary's Church in Hamel, is the house of the Lord, what actually would make people want to come? Just a bit of background first. This passage by the prophet Isaiah was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, in the context of the exile, forthcoming exile of the Israelite people. Their lands were invaded and a lot of people were carried off into captivity. A period of great turmoil. Chapter 1 of Isaiah lists all the Israelite shortcomings, yet throughout Isaiah there's an underlying theme of hope and redemption and the promise of better times to come. And we also, living in times of uncertainty and turmoil, both in this country and throughout the world, are in need of that hope. And this time of year, leading up to Christmas, we'll hear many passages from Isaiah, because of all the prophets, he was the one who most clearly pointed the way to the coming of Jesus. This passage can be read on one level as prophesying what Isaiah describes as the days to come. In other words, when Jesus will come again. We're now in the church season of Advent, in which we look excitedly not only to the celebrating the birth of Jesus in that stable, but also to the time when Jesus will return. As Christians, we believe that Jesus, having come to earth in human form, having died, having risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, will come again, when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The verse 2, "The mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills." Isaiah is referring to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where the Jewish temple was standing. It wasn't the highest mountain in a physical sense, but was the most important. The mountain and God's temple on it was a symbol of God's supremacy, the high mountain that couldn't be missed, which would lead to all people streaming to it. Verse 3, "Many people shall say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths.'" So we trust that in time all will come to know God and his ways. "He shall judge between the nations and arbitrate for many peoples." In our creed, our statement of faith, which we said earlier, we acknowledge that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." When Jesus returns, there will be an end to war and conflict. Maybe to the world all that sounds a bit sort of pie in the sky. Yet we do believe in the promise and hope of that second coming. And just as an aside, it's worth noting that those words from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, are engraved on the United Nations headquarters in New York. But what about now? Well, God's kingdom was brought into existence when Jesus first came to earth, and at the second coming will be brought into fulfillment. As mentioned in our gospel reading, we don't know when that second coming will be. So we could say we live in the so-called in-between times. And when this passage refers to God's house or God's mountain, in the here and now, that means this place. So why today in this secular age, when most people think they have no need of God, should anyone say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord? Well, Caitlin and Andrew have said it. By bringing Willow for baptism in the Lord's house, they've committed her through the promises made on her behalf into the church family. Coming back to our reading, I was struck by some words in verse 2, the vision of the mountain and all the people streaming to it. I thought it's a bit like when I'm going to the football match down at Griffin Park, which, if you saw the results, it was a good, very good effort yesterday. Especially in an evening game, there's people converging to the ground, coming from different directions, there's some noise building up, there's the floodlights in the distance, that sense of excitement. And so, you know, why do people go, or why do I go? Well, partly it's out of loyalty or habit, perhaps. But what else do you expect when you go to a football match? Maybe to meet people, to socialise, to be part of something bigger, to be lost in the moment, a celebration, and hopefully to have a great experience and go away buzzing with excitement, which was the case yesterday, but admittedly not always. I don't want to stretch the point. And yet, you know, when we come to this place, hopefully we don't come just out of habit, but we expect to learn about God's ways and the paths he wants us to take. Hopefully we come with a sense of excitement and anticipation. And as to celebrating, well, Brentford score a goal, then I'm on my feet with the rest of the crowd. I don't know about Mildred and the others, but you know, I'm on my feet, I'm clapping, I'm cheering. So in church, if there's a moment that grabs us in one of the hymns or some of the liturgy or the words, would we do that? Probably not. But we do come to this place expecting to meet with God and to be transformed. And if we're confident about all that, then we could think of ourselves as being on a high mountain, not out of boastfulness, but because we consider we've got something to offer this world of ours. What we do can make a difference. We can help the word of God and his instruction to go out from this place, not only via our children and grandchildren through junior church, but thinking of all those people who will be attending this church over our Christmas services, maybe the one time they come during the year. And that word of Jesus is one of encouragement, hope and peace, and instruction to love our neighbours as ourselves, which we try to do through our outreach, through our offering of the pantomime, our commitment to the night shelter, collections for the Children's Society, support for the food bank and the refuge, as well as all our personal giving. So to sum up, in this Advent season, on the one hand, we look ahead to that time as yet unknown when Jesus will return. And on the other hand, in the here and now, we work to advance God's kingdom here on earth. Let's pray. Lord, verse 5 of this reading says, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Help us to do that and show in our behaviour, our attitudes, our actions, that our lives are different so that people will notice and say, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Amen. Now please sit or kneel, and ask Helen White, our church warden, to lead us in our prayers of intercession.